I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have with us, Fast Eddie?
We have Scott Holmes now. He's involved in
electrical Formula One racing.
Yeah, converting a Formula One racing plane to an electric hot rod.
Interesting concept.
It is an interesting concept.
First question that comes to mind is how long is the duration of the average Formula One race?
So we're 8 laps usually, at about a minute a lap. And if you're a faster airplane, obviously a little bit less.
Okay, so you need maybe, 15, 20 minutes of battery power time to complete a race with some reserve.
Well, it's funny, with gas-powered airplanes, normal airplanes, that's how we talk is just a standard endurance time, right? And we consider it like cruise flight. Now, when we got into this electric project, we started realizing that full power, wide open race power setting is very different than in the pattern. And so the nice thing about electric is you can put a lot of power into the airplane, but you obviously don't need it all in the pattern because flying a pattern at 200 or 250
is... Yeah, that's just silly.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're powered way back to a normal, say, hold setting or a normal cruise setting with an electric motor, the endurance stretches out a lot longer. But at wide open power right now, we're like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I was going to say, that battery pack is screaming the whole time.
That's right. And it very much depends on how much weight you want to carry in batteries.
Now, the propulsion system of an electric airplane is so much simpler than a gas-powered engine, right?
Much so. So, actually, it kind of is, but also kind of isn't. Like, in a gas power, you have a fuel tank, you have a fuel line, a fuel valve, straight to the carburetor.
Right, but then you have that complicated engine underneath the carburetor.
That's right, and then a lot of moving parts. So it's kind of simple in some way. The electric motor, for example, only one part moves, and the rest of it's all just high voltage.
Right.
So it kind of gets more complicated when you get into the electrical part of it than gas. But on the other hand, very few parts move. So in some ways, it's far more reliable.
Right.
You don't have now to burn out bearings and stuff.
And I've often heard that if you want to go faster, you just add some more batteries.
Well, actually, that's kind of true. It's if you want to go faster longer, you add more batteries.
Okay.
If you want to go faster, you add more motors.
Oh, no. There you go. There you go. So you could stack them.
That's right. And a bigger cable.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking weight.
A bigger credit card.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, but these guys are out there tinkering with that engine between every race, trying to get a little bit more of it, and he's out there wiping the bugs off the prop.
Yeah, and just checking the battery meter.
Well, that's almost what it will be. Now, it's going to be different, though, because we have to recharge. And so recharging takes a while. So if we want to do races back-to-back, we're going to need lots of batteries and swap fresh ones in, kind of like our RC plane.
Right, swappable packs. Yeah. Are you running lithium polymers?
We're still looking into that right now. So we've got test batteries. We haven't put the whole system in the race airplane yet. It's still the motor spinning and everything. We have a propeller and all those components, but it's on a test stand, and we're doing that so we can still get access to it and figure out the best way to get it in the airplane.
Right.
And then also the batteries too. We're trying to figure out. We know what the data plate numbers are on the batteries, but we want to know things like how much heat rejection we need, so we can then size our cooling system appropriately.
Are you using a liquid cooling system for the batteries?
Yeah, that's the plan right now.
Okay.
So that's the plan. Some of the Unlimiteds are running a system called boil-off cooling.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They just put like distilled water in there and let it boil?
Exactly. Now, the problem with electric is water won't boil at 50 C, which is about the temperature we want everything to sit at.
Yes, exactly. So, it's at 100 C.
Right. So we're looking at alternative cooling fluids that will work for that.
Mm. But still, same thing, total loss cooling.
That's right.
So if you want to call it that.
Well, one thing for sure, you can't go cryogenic because those batteries don't like cold at all.
Cryogenic, it's the weight. They've got to add a cooling system that weighs as little as possible and has little moving parts.
Well, it's funny, you'd think that, but then we looked at the differences between, say, a boil-off liquid cooling system and an air cooling system, or even like a Rotax-style radiator cooling system.
Right, watered air, right.
And exactly. And so if we're running 50 degrees Celsius coolant into a radiator, and the outside air temperature is 40 degrees Celsius, the cooling efficiency is horrible.
Right.
And the cooling drag is enormous. So that didn't work. So we said, well, what else can we do here? So that's how we came up with the whole boil-off idea, which is what the Unlimiteds are using.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. You just got a steam vent. So it looks like the airplane's steam-powered, you know?
I was going to say, if you see smoke coming from an electric airplane, that's usually not a good sign.
That's right. Now, the interesting thing, too, about racing, and people think, oh, you want the lightest airplane possible. That's not exactly true. At the speeds that we race at, The wing is not working very hard at all.
Okay, so you're lightly loaded.
Right, so our class says you need 66 square feet of wing area. I think Steve Whitman came up with that rule when he kind of designed the class back in like the 40s. And they did that for safety, because in a race environment, you want the smallest wing you can possibly build. However, then you're approaching at 140, 150, 180, whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a missile.
And then trying to land on 6-inch wheels.
Exactly. And so just to get into like a 4,000-foot runway, it gets hard with the small wing. So we need 66 square feet, which means the wing's not working very hard at all in a race. So weight actually isn't that important. In fact, our top three racers right now in the gas power Formula One class are all actually about 100 pounds heavier than the minimum.
There's no standard weight that you're required to have to fly?
Well, the airplanes need to be minimum 500 pounds empty.
Right.
Right now. The battery-powered airplane will be a lot more than that. We're running it very heavy with the batteries on board. But in the race, the airplane almost doesn't notice. The only time you really notice the weight is on takeoff and on landing, and both of which need a slightly higher speed.
I would think with all that weight, when you start pulling G's, your turns end up being bigger than everybody else because you got more inertia.
Well, it's true. That happens a little bit. But it's funny how all these very, very, very fast airplanes are heavy, and you start to wonder, well, why is that? I don't exactly know either.
Okay, interesting.
Is this airplane going to be an all-new design from the ground up, or are you adapting existing designs?
No, we're trying to do this thing quickly, and we're trying to walk the walk. We're not trying to just promise too much. We're trying to really deliver on this thing. So the quickest way to do that is take my existing red number 9 Outlaw racer and just simply unbolt the Continental 0200 on it, bolt on this new electric package, and try it. And so we're trying to make it
rebalance
it.
Rebalance it, yeah.
And keep it as simple. Well, exactly. And try and keep it as simple as just tape up the cooling inlets because we don't need them anymore.
Okay. Got to use that racing tape.
Well, the thing is, it's a good starting point because you've got enough problems with the electrical system, cooling. You know, not only do you have to cool the motor, you got to cool the speed controller, the batteries. You don't want to be fighting a new design as well.
Right, you got a known aircraft.
Yeah, exactly. And so some people are starting off with a clean sheet design, building this clean sheet electric motor package to try and do speed records or whatever, a race with us or whatever. And there's so many unknowns in that. So I fly my red plane all the time. It's pretty much my daily driver at home. So I know how to glide it very well. So if the engine quits, that's what I'm comfortable doing. Every landing right now is power off.
Your power system, your motors, batteries, you're using all off the shelf, right? You're not custom designing anything from scratch.
No, we're trying to use existing components that are well tested simply to take out that unknown. Maybe in the future we'll get into special development packages, but right now we just want to use what works.
Okay.
And what we're familiar with and what everybody else is familiar with.
Did you select a motor that is more powerful than the Continental you removed, or in the same range?
Well, this whole project came about because Air Race One, which is our international promoter, decided he wanted to do some electric air racing. And so we started asking questions, and I had a bunch of friends down in the Bay Area that all worked on electric vehicles. So I have the airplane experience, they have the electric vehicle experience, and we thought, well, let's try this. This can't be that hard, and it'll be fun. If it doesn't work, we still learned a lot, right?
Yeah.
The actual class that Air Race 1 developed is called Air Race E, and he said the new formula is 150 kilowatts.
Okay.
So we selected a motor that's 150 kilowatts, which is about 200 horsepower. So 0200, for those that don't know, is stock 100. We race about 160 or so, I have to guess.
So... Now you got to select a propeller. That's a whole nother can of worms there.
That's right.
That's mostly you just doing that by testing.
Yeah, that's a difficult situation because the motors work very well at high RPMs, high RPMs.
Like 5,000.
Exactly. Now, it's hard to make a propeller do that. So we run about 4,000 RPM on the 0200 right now. So the actual propeller technology is the Formula One class is very good at running propellers fast. So it's tough to do, and you need a very strong propeller. For example, back in the day when they used to cut down Cessna 150 props to turn the RPM up, they started resonating really bad, and they started shedding blades about 9 inches from the hub.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then the motor falls out, and you die.
Right, yeah, that's
not
a bad day.
A good situation.
That's right. So it's a tough problem. So the problem with electric airplanes is, do you put a gearbox in between the motor and the propeller to let the motor spin where it wants to, or do you turn the motor slower so that the propeller doesn't over-rev?
Right, and you take the efficiency hit.
Exactly. So it's a... And then if you run the propeller at, say, 5,000, you can do it. And you find a propeller that can do it made out of whatever it's made out of.
Unobtainium.
Then the tips go supersonic, so you end up with a really short, funny-looking propeller.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough design problem. We're having a lot of fun working on it.
I was going to say, a belt redrive would be a very simple thing to arrange. And there's tons of belts out there. You could probably even modify something from the primary drive on, say, a Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
Exactly.
A lot of them are
now, that's
cog belts.
That brings to mind right there, that's going to be a stipulation in the rules. What drives you can use, what the thou shalt not use redrives kind of thing. It's all direct drive.
Well, right now, they left the rules wide open. So part of the problem with electric airplanes is very few of them are actually flying.
Right.
There's a lot of cool innovation out there, a lot of cool parked concepts, custom vehicles all over the place that are electric. But very few of them actually fly just because it's so hard to make one practical. So they left the rules wide open to say, okay, you come up with something practical, and then we can adapt the rules as the race teams develop.
Well, practical for 8 minutes of hardcore flying.
Well, yeah, but the
if
thing
8 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing of it being is that somebody might have a different approach, a different style motor or speed controller that works best with direct drive versus maybe your setup with a redrive.
Yeah, yeah, it could go both ways right now. So it's very interesting working on that.
Yeah,
That's one of the hardest problems right now is getting those propellers to work on the motor.
Huh.
Efficiently.
Yeah, because most of the in the model airplane world, they've got props that are running like 12,000, don't they?
Yeah.
But they're like 2 inches long.
Well, and on the larger aircraft many years ago, and some guys are still using them, redrives were very popular, mostly because the engine size was limited. They didn't have the big motors they have today.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Scott. And are you here at Oshkosh somewhere we can see you?
No, I'm not, actually. I wanted to be, but didn't work out this year.
Okay, well, thank you for coming. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.